In no state can a person working full-time at the minimum wage afford a one-bedroom apartment at the fair market rent. That's the bottom line from a study called Out of Reach. It was produced by the National Low Income Housing Coalition. According to the measures used in the survey, Hawaii ranks first in the lack of affordability. A minimum wage worker here would have to work 124 hours per week to afford a modest one-bedroom apartment. In other words, not possible. Contributing editor Neil Milner is back and has more of the story, which he says isn't showing up this legislative session. Hello there and welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
This study puts so much of the bedrock of our conversations into perspective, not only in terms of how Hawaii looks at itself, but also where the rest of the country falls and why it's all in many ways, you know, behind us and doing far better considering that we're worst in affordability.
Yeah. The bottom line is that it's become a national problem, a problem that's moved from a fiscal crisis to an affordability crisis. It's a national problem, but Hawaii is clearly the worst. If you take a two-bedroom apartment and or a two-bedroom facility and you take the average prevailing wage, Hawaii is the worst state, has the biggest disparity between what the average wage is here and what it would cost to rent a two-bedroom modest apartment at market value.
I mean, we're double dinging it because I took a look at that study, and you're looking at somebody having to work 161
yeah.
hours a week to be able to afford a two bedroom, which is if you're a family, that's probably going to be what you're going to be needing to have. And also looking at how many people would have to contribute in your household just so you can make rent.
That's right. If you don't want to do the math, there are 168 hours in a week. You would have to spend 161 of them working in order to cover, or almost four people in your household would have to make the average salary in order to afford a modest two-bedroom apartment.
No, we're talking about average salary. We're talking about $14?
$14. Now, there are other states that have a higher cost of rental, other cities like San Francisco, but their minimum, the average wage is much higher than Hawaii. So here, the average wage is about $15 an hour. What it would cost is about $35 an hour to rent an apartment at market value, two-bedroom.
So where do we go to begin to tackle some of this, looking at it through that lens? Because clearly we've been talking about affordable housing for a long time. Many other municipalities doing the same thing, other states doing the same thing. But looking at it through this lens, this puts it kind of above the level of a local crisis.
Oh, I think for sure. In fact, the Housing Coalition says that it's quite possible that in the most productive areas in the country, I call them the sexy cities, that millennials aren't going to be able to afford to live there. They're not going to be able to afford to rent. And that has some other kind of implications.
What are those sexy cities that you...
Oh, the coastal cities,
okay.
San Francisco, Boston maybe, some of the Pacific Northwest, the cities that have fairly high-tech sort of things. Hawaii isn't one of those economically sexy cities, but it has the same kind of problem where we simply have a problem that looks like it's intractable, and the kinds of changes that you would have to make, if it's even possible, we're not really making here.
And that goes back to the central question. Can we actually get ahead of this? We've heard how many thousands of units we are in the hole, how many we'd have to put online every year, and yet we see projects that have, well, here's 40 units, here's 100 units, and knowing how far behind we're falling. And not just because, as you say, we're not a sexy city, perhaps, where there would be tech magnets coming in for that, but just looking at average people to be able to fill the jobs that we have now. And we're told that these jobs, many of them going wanting because they can't find people to fill them. It all seems to be folding in on itself.
Well, let's look at Hawaii very quickly. Hawaii is a place that has an affordability problem. It has low unemployment. The unemployment rate is very good here, but wages are low, and so it's hard to catch up. Just look at the statistics. The official state government goal is 22,500 more affordable housing units by 2026. That would mean about 2,300 a year. In the past 2 years, we've added 500 per year. Well, we've added 1,000 in 2 years, and there doesn't seem to be any indication what the legislature is doing this time that that's going to change very much. In fact, hardly at all.
What would they have to do?
Well, what you would have to do is somehow figure out a way to create more affordable housing. And here's the problem. The market won't do it for you. You know, you can think about developers as being greedy, but it's not their job to have to overcome all of these sorts of things. So you talk about other ways of doing it. Is the government interested in producing low-income housing? The answer is no here. There was that attempt to develop that bond issue that was one of the legislative
things. Willie Sparrow's thing.
So that there is those kinds of things are clearly not there. Another way to do it, according to the Housing Coalition, and this is a small thing, much smaller than that, is to raise significantly the minimum wage. The study does show that in places that have a really higher minimum wage, like Los Angeles is moving to $15 an hour over a series of years, that can have some impact. We've raised our minimum wage here, but it's nowhere near the likelihood to raise it. So you can talk about doing other things, changing the requirements, reducing the complications of building. But there is nothing on the horizon right now that seems able to reach that kind of goal of the amount of housing that we need. So it seems to me that what Hawaii is likely to face in the future is essentially what Hawaii faces now, and that is this, that people are going to live crowded, that people are going to deal with a housing problem through Ohana, and that we're going to continue to live the way Hawaii has really lived for about 50 or 60 years.
And this is not something that's going to be greatly mitigated by having people put on ADUs?
I don't think very much. It's hard to imagine that anything that we're doing right now will greatly mitigate it. I don't want to sound like I'm negative in terms of what's being done, but all of these things are small potatoes, and they help. And sometimes politics is the politics of small potatoes, but big picture is they're not likely to make an appreciable dent.
Right. We don't want to say that it's not a good thing that we get one more unit, because a family that gets that one more unit or the person who gets it, they're feeling pretty good. But the bottom line that you seem to be making is that we're having to look at this from two different issues. One, affordability, raising a minimum wage so that people would be able to afford a unit if that unit could be found. And that's a big if, because we don't have enough of them. So you're going to have more people fighting over fewer units.
That's exactly right. I mean, if you take something like rent subsidies or making it possible for people to get from the government some short-term help for rentals, which Hawaii is doing, it still doesn't face the fundamental fact that there aren't enough affordable units out there. And what happens when there are not enough units? The price goes up. Nationally, what's happening is that people can't afford to move out of their rental units. People who are working and have fairly decent rental units, they can't go up market rental because they're not there. They can't afford to buy, and so they stay. And they stay, and that reduces the availability of market housing. If you want to get a sense of what this is like, pay attention to Kaka'ako. Pay attention. Don't just look at the rhetoric. Don't just look at the attempt to do things in the arts and all of that. Kaka'ako is fundamentally a place that is going to follow the tradition that's happening in this country, which is fewer low-income houses are being developed, and there is an increase in luxury units and in high-end, because the market takes you there. And whatever else is going on in Kaka'ako about affordability, and there are some good stuff, the fundamental fact is that that kind of development is not going to come anywhere close to alleviating the housing problem.
Looking through the lens of this study and the dire picture that you've just painted, which is one that we've all been looking at for a while, why do you think the legislature is so disinclined for any sort of bold move?
Because legislatures are generally disinclined to make any kind of bold move, for sure. And this the culture of the Hawaii legislature, I've said this before, the culture is that it's a democratic legislature, but not a particularly liberal one. It's financially cautious. My guess is that they'll take a look at Willis Sparrow's bill in the future.
Things will be maybe worse and worse and worse.
That's right. So essentially what we're going to have, I think, is the status quo with a little bit of frosting.
Neil Milner, thank you.
You're welcome.
Neil Milner taught political science at UH Manoa for 40 years and is our contributing editor of the biweekly segment, The Long View. If you'd like to see the National Low Income Housing Coalition Affordability Study, have a look at our Facebook page, The Conversation-Hawaii Public Radio.